Again, good evening, everyone. Before we start, please, I would like to ask members of the audience and everyone present to please silence their cell phones before we begin the meeting. For those in person, please clearly print your name, address, and email address on the sign-in sheet at the entrance if you are planning to speak regarding the subjected item. When speaking in person or online, please speak loud and clear and into the microphone. Before providing any public comment, please clearly state your name and email address for the audio record. Each person speaking will have 3 minutes to comment, and it will be timed. For all projects, please do not interrupt the meeting and to show respect for all sides of the issue. I'd like to start by asking for roll call on today, November 4th, 2024.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Amanda Bredlow. Carlos Castaneda.
Present.
Supriya Kelkar.
Present.
Shannon Merkel.
Present.
Tyler Smith.
Present.
And Amy Tarse. Thanks.
For today's agenda, we will briefly go over the agenda for this evening. Remember that comments from the audience section of our items are not specific to a project later in the agenda. There will be an opportunity for the public to comment on specific projects as part of the project's review, and that the chair will ask for a public comment at the end of that point. Today's agenda, I believe, is the Rose Hill Townhomes conceptual design, and I'll give it to our team here to take that away.
All right, thank you. Tony Levitt, representing the planning departments. So yes, tonight we are here to discuss the Rose Hill Townhomes conceptual design conference application. Whoops, sorry. Click there. Just real quickly, I'm going to go over the process for anybody that doesn't know. So this is obviously the first step in the design review process is the conceptual design conference. The next process is the design response conference that would be held after the applicant has submitted their application and also involves public noticing and commenting for the application. At that time, the project will be reviewed for consistency with applicable design guidelines, review of the applicable zoning requirements where, when available. And additionally, there'll be a staff review that involves first the SEPA review, which is to look at traffic impacts of the project, and then and other environmental elements. And then additionally, we would have a building permit where we would look at permitted uses, height, setbacks, parking, affordable housing requirements, that kind of thing. So yes, the site is located in the Rose Hill area of Kirkland, located along Northeast 85th Street at the corner of 128th Avenue Northeast. The subject property is currently, the property is around 3.4 acres in size and is currently vacant with two existing structures that will be demolished. A majority of the site has been graded for soil remediation. The site is relatively flat with significant upward slopes near the south property line. And the property has street frontage again along 85th, which is a primary arterial, and 128th, which is a collector street. The applicant is proposing to construct an 89-unit townhome development with approximately 4,800 square feet of workspace along Northeast 85th Street. The applicant proposes surface level parking for the commercial uses and residential guests, with vehicular access taken from 128th Avenue Northeast. Each residential townhome will have garage parking stalls. I did forget to mention, there was an email that you guys received from Deidre Johnson. She did have a question on access. I did want to bring that up. So along Northeast 85th Street, the city significantly reduces the amount of curb cuts that are allowed on there. So the city's traffic engineer has determined that access to Northeast 85th cannot be provided with this project. So she raised that as one of her issues in her email that she sent you earlier today. So I, in the staff report, I did mention there was a brief discussion of form-based codes for the station area plan. To help you better understand how it works, I will go over some of the key features now of what form-based code is. Form-based codes are an approach to zoning that focuses on physical form while considering factors such as land use. The city's form-based code has three main elements. The first element, the regulating district, defines primary features of the overall building form, including lot parameters, massing, height, and permitted uses. The second element, street types, set the design intent for specific segments of the public right-of-way, including prioritization of transportation modes, sidewalk and bikeway facility dimensions, and expected streetscape amenities like trees, planting, hardscape, and street furnishings. The final element, frontage types, establish design regulations for the property, private property frontages, including the required front yard setbacks, front setbacks, building base. Eligible frontage types are determined based on the adjacent street type for the subject property. So this is new in Kirkland. This is a, one of our first zoning districts that has this form-based code. So that's kind of the main reason I kind of provide you a little background on that. The neighborhood mixed use district is intended to encourage uses consistent with mixed-use neighborhood that include commercial development and a range of residential development types. It allows for commercial, civic, institutional, and residential uses. Development regulations in this particular district focus on the site planning and building massing. This includes maximum height, lot coverage, setbacks, and facade width, break, depth, and other requirements. Heights for the subject property range from a base height of 40 feet to a bonus height of 85 feet through incentive zoning. As far as the street type is concerned, the next form-based code element is street type. The street types reflect the general intent for the improvements within the public right-of-way, which is shown in the top graphic. Northeast 85th Street is designated as a major thoroughfare. Major thoroughfares are streets that connect regional centers or pass through central commercial corridors. Many of these streets have significant traffic volumes at peak hours and are key places for high capacity transit routes, separate bike facilities, and wider sidewalks. The chart that I've provided outlines the permitted frontages along the street type and the adjacent land uses, including high intensity commercial, residential, and active ground level uses. Along 128th Avenue is designated as a neighborhood mixed-use street. Neighborhood mixed-use streets have low to mid-intensity commercial and residential, occasionally active ground floors. With generally lower vehicle volumes than major thoroughfares, these streets require careful balancing among modes and should include wider sidewalks, buffered bike facilities, transit routes, and narrow travel lanes. On-street parking is considered on a contextual basis and subject to approval by the planning by the Public Works Department. The chart that I'm showing here outlines the permitted frontages allowed along the street type and the adjacent land uses, including low to mid-intensity commercial, residential, and occasionally active ground-level uses, civic and urban flexes. As you can see in this particular case, frontage types are permitted along this type. As far as the next element is the frontage type. So this frontage type is intended in this, the urban street edge. The frontage type is intended to establish a public realm consistent with walkable mixed use environment. Characteristics include buildings set close to the public sidewalk, pedestrian-oriented facades, and landscaping that contribute to an urban environment. Additionally, you can see that we've established things like the minimum ground floor heights, transparency, facade width requirements, location of entrances, things like front setbacks, all those kind of those standards that you normally see in our zoning code. The next frontage type is intended to establish, so this would be along 128th Avenue Northeast, which is a residential stoop and porch. Again, this is intended to establish a consistent walkable residential frontage, defined by buildings that engage the public right of way, elements that reflect individual residential units, like direct entries and articulated facades and elevated stoops and porches. The district-wide standards are zoning standards that apply throughout the station area and support the vision and objective of the plan. Requirements include landscape standards, green infrastructure, bird-safe glazing standards, the use of dark sky fixtures, required vehicle and bicycle parking, and sustainability standards. It should be noted, as far as sustainability standards, all new developments and major renovations requiring DRB approval are required to be designed, built, and certified to achieve or exceed requirements in three categories: high-performance buildings, energy and decarbonization, and ecosystems and green infrastructure. The station area is divided into multiple design districts, with the subject property located in the Rose Hill Gateway District. The design guidelines state the following regarding the district. It's a corridor-based gateway with a mix of active ground floors and mid-rise residential along Northeast 85th Street that focus on creating a strong sense of arrival from Redmond with streetscape design, public art, and urban design features. The district creates an environment where pedestrian and bicyclists can move comfortably along Northeast 85th Street. Corner treatments at each intersection, including an interaction of open spaces and building architecture, provide opportunities to create gathering places for the neighborhood and a distinct identity for the district. Again, some of the key design guidelines we're going to want to look at from the Northeast 85th Stationary Subarea Plan. And so these are some of the things that you guys should focus on tonight with this project. First is streetscape with pedestrian-friendly elements. Second would be to create a variety of useful and interesting public spaces. Another key is the use of lighting to create character, but is sensitive to neighboring developments. The enhancement of the project through the use of appropriate landscaping, the street orientation of buildings, the use of varying architecture elements to break up the building massing, reducing the visual impacts of any blank walls that are present within the project. And finally, we're going to look at exterior architectural design and building materials should exhibit permanence and quality. So tonight, the role of the DRB at the Conceptual Design Conference is to help determine how the design guidelines found in the station area guidelines apply to the proposed development. In staff memos, there is an outline of the discussion items for tonight's meeting. I'll go over a few of them here. First, what are some of the key contexts, site context, and public views of the project we're wanting you to look at? Identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing of the proposed buildings. How does the proposed massing and location of the structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment? What are opportunities for pedestrian-oriented spaces and plazas at the street level? What are the key pedestrian connections? How would the project engage pedestrians? And finally, what are opportunities for landscaping in their open space on the subject property? So tonight, the goal is for you to, again, review the massing option guide. Provide some guidance to the applicant's massing options that they have submitted in the package. They have submitted a preferred option. Also, we're going to want to look at the applicable design guidelines that I mentioned and see which ones we believe apply and how the applicant should address those as part of their design response conference application. And then obviously we'll want to determine exactly what kind of materials we'll want to see as part of the design response conference. So with that, that concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Thank you. Randall, Would you like to start, Carlos?
No questions.
Shannon? I don't have any questions at this time either.
Okay,
then we
great.
Can go into the applicant's presentation.
Good evening, and thank you. My name is Pete Lamberis. I'm the division president for Taylor Morrison and the applicant. I want to thank the board and staff for being here today and giving us this opportunity to present this this project. We're here together with Main Street, and we're very excited about this project and very excited that we're working with Main Street as a team. With me today is Alice Knudsen, my vice president of product, as well as Crystal Fletcher, my director of land. This is an important project to me and to us all. I came to Kirkland in 1991, and I've spent 27 years here. I grew up on the site. As a young kid, I went to Waldo's, had fun with my friends. A little later, I went to the dry cleaners and had my shirts cleaned on this site. And even after that, I would take my kids there every summer to the Baskin and Robbins. I'm sure you guys have all been there. It was a great place. The first apartment I had with my wife in our first year of marriage actually overlooked, we were at the Rosecrest Apartments, it actually overlooked the parking lot, so I'd get up in the morning and get to see that site. I lived 10 blocks away for 20 years from the site, and my brother and my nieces live 3 blocks away from this site today, and I see it every time I go there and see them with my family. This project's important to me to be involved with so I could help ensure that it's a lasting and positive part of the community where I have so much invested and have so many good memories. And I'm also excited to be part of executing the vision of this new gateway project. I'm glad I'm doing it as part of Taylor Morrison, and here's why. Taylor Morrison is a top 5 national builder across 20 separate divisions, and we're well known for doing things right. We were voted America's most trusted builder through an independent study 9 years in a row. 2 weeks ago, we were named amongst Newsweek's greenest companies for the second consecutive year. We also have a partnership with the National Wildlife Federation and work with them to put their fingerprint on every community that we do. So we are working with the National Wildlife Federation to try and implement butterfly gardens or whatever else we can implement into this community. We're proud of what this company and local team brings in terms of values as well as local experience. Locally, our Taylor Morrison office has developed many townhome sites and hundreds, if not thousands, of units on the east side in Puget Sound. We're a national builder, but the entire team lives here locally and we're vested in this community like myself. We've recently sold or are selling in Bothell, Bellevue, Issaquah, Redmond, and are currently starting to sell a community in Totem Lake as well. We're very much looking forward to bringing new residents to the city of Kirkland with this project. And to do that, and like all communities, we start with the customer and the community in mind. To help us, we hired the Dahlin Group, who's here today, and you'll hear more from them. Their depth of expertise on this is the best, and we're proud to partner with them here. You're gonna hear more from Sean about the details of the community, but in this 89-unit community, 10% or 9 of our units will be affordable housing in partnership with the city and Arch. We're also proud to be the first community that's going to use the Green Score approach to provide sustainability for this community. Together with trying to mutually achieve National Wildlife Federation's goals here with Taylor Morrison. We're also extremely proud that we're going to provide a plaza that's nearly 7 times the required size on the corner of 85th and 128th, an amenity for the whole community. It's a community-centric project, and we're very proud of it. So that's all I have for opening statements. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. All right. Thank you for your time. I'm going to turn it over to Mark, who's going to give a little bit of recent history here on the project.
Thank you. Do we have any questions before he goes into it?
Anytime you guys have any questions, just interrupt me, Pete, John, anybody. We're here to have a dialogue and a great evening with you. Thank you. My name is Mark Betcher with the Main Street Property Group. I got to admit, it's really great to see everybody and do a meeting in person. It's feels great, and I just think it's just more meaningful. I think you all are pretty well familiar with this piece of property. In September of 2018, unfortunately, there was a fire which destroyed the retail strip center, and for the last 6 years, it's remained largely vacant. In 2021, Main Street purchased the property. And since then, we've iterated numerous options. And not too long ago, we actually filed a land use application for the reservation of more than 750 apartment buildings. There was a public process, and as a result of that public process, virtually everybody in the community had the exact same kind of concern. They were concerned about the volume and the distributions of trips within the associated neighborhood. Needless to say, the proposed project this evening will have a fraction of any potential, of the maximum potential impact to the neighborhood and 85th as well. All along, we've envisioned a safe, vibrant, sustainable community for this piece of property, and we really want it to integrate well into the surrounding neighborhood and the surrounding land uses. And again, this project, in my opinion, really has the ability to further root the area, the surrounding community, and what we all believe makes Kirkland a really desirable place to live. Mentioned by Pete, these are intended to be for sale townhomes, and I think there's a key distinction between homeownership and renters. Homeowners are much more involved in the civic process. They participate in the community on a much higher degree, and I think that's going to lend really well to furthering this as a complementary piece to the neighborhood and surrounding area. Tony mentioned it. I believe we're the first group to go through the design review process with the new regulatory kind of process associated with the new the station area plan. And one of these elements, as Tony touched on, is the form-based code. And I'm going to pass the mic here to Sean in a minute, but he's really going to walk us through the site and then the code evaluation to demonstrate how we're consistent with the applicable design guidelines, the form-based code, and we seek no variances. So we are fully ready to roll. And with that, thank you all. I'm gonna hand it off to Sean with the Dahlin Group.
Tony, can you queue up that PDF? Or, sorry, Katie, thanks. Trying to advance. There we go. Okay. I'm Sean Whitaker. I'm with Dahlin Architecture, Planning, and Interiors. I'm a senior principal and a senior architect. I've been with the firm 21 years. It's wonderful to be back in front of this board. We're really proud of the project, The Pine. That was the last time I saw most of you. So we are an architecture firm with about 48 years of experience in urban planning and residential architecture. We've got about 200 employees in the Western United States. We've been practicing in this region for about 35 years. Urban planning and residential placemaking is at the core of what we do. So I'm here tonight to present three site plan concepts for this 89 townhome community. These are all 3 and 4 bedroom family homes. And as Pete mentioned, 10% will have reduced price points as affordable units. So Tony described some of the requirements of the station area plan and the form-based code, and I'll elaborate on a little of how we're conforming with those requirements. So somebody called us recently the nerds of architecture, and we're embracing that title. We're proud of that. And as such, we're excited to engage with this form-based code. I love the concept of a form-based code, so it's interesting to get into the details and engage with the city in this way. So 85th Street is called a major thoroughfare. That dictates what frontage types we're allowed to use along 85th Street. We've chosen an urban street edge frontage type. 28th Avenue Northeast is a neighborhood mixed use street. We've chosen a residential stoop and porch frontage type along 128th. key components of the urban street edge, that's along 85th, are the minimum ground floor height has to be 15 feet at least at the ground level that engages the street, needs a facade transparency of 50%. It encourages limited setbacks, so it's trying to create a street wall. It's in the name, urban street edge. So we have zero setbacks here. Talks about corner design and a minimum 300 square foot corner element. As Pete mentioned, we're including a 2,000 square foot plaza on the corner, and we're excited about that feature. Then we need weather protection along the majority of the facade, which we've included in the massing at this level. In the section diagram, I wanted to point out an important way that we're dealing with grade. We're taking the grade within the buildings, which adds complexity to the buildings, but it eliminates site walls. So we're able to engage the street by stepping the building. We have a lot of grade to deal with on this site. And this was a big step in the design development. We're stepping all of the buildings along the north side of the plan so that we're hitting street level with the ground level frontage. In the plaza, what we're envisioning is seating, landscaping, enhanced paving, lighting, and art. So there's a great opportunity in that plaza. Along 128th, the residential stoop and porch is characterized again by facade transparency. It wants a little bit of a setback. We've got a 5-foot setback along that edge. It wants frontage, so we want to see front doors and architecture, not garages. So we've got what we call an alley-loaded product, so that the garages load behind and the public sees architecture. Again, great adaptive. So where we've got to deal with slope on the site, we're doing it within the building so that you get a clear building entry and building frontage facing the public. So I'm going to move now into our three site plan options. This is our preferred option, and I'll refer to it as concept one or option one. The most key component of option one is that three sides face the public. So the north side and the east side that I already presented, and then also the west side is public facing. The south side in all cases has a buffer. It has a landscape easement and a required buffer on that edge. So it'll load from the alley side primarily. Has two vehicular access points, one along 128th and one along the driveway to the south. That's a shared access point and primarily an emergency access point. The circulation onto site and through the site is clear, safe, and connected. That's one of the reasons we prefer that option over a couple of the others. Also, the parking is sufficient, but also primarily hidden. So you'll see with some of the other options, parking and alleys become a little more visible. With these buildings fronting the public way, we get good coverage in terms of screening the driveways and the parking areas. And then the other thing to notice is the buildings on the north end are deeper. They're longer buildings than any of the others. That is to provide a buffer. It's a required 30-foot average depth before we get to garages or parking areas. So we've extended that ground floor area that fronts 85th Street. One more time, big plaza on 85th and 128th. Now we're calling this Site Plan 2. The key difference in Site Plan 2 is on the northern six buildings, they're essentially siding the public way. In some ways, you could look at this as a benefit for the residential community itself, and that it's more private, more inward looking. In working with staff, we developed these options along with staff over the last year. Staff expressed some concerns about fronting on the side and also the potential visibility of the alleys. Now, the third option uses a side approach on the west. Here again, some benefit of a side approach. It's a nice looking plan to me, very clear circulation. Another difference is the staggered openings or the staggered separation between the internal buildings. What we learned with this option is that it's a little less efficient, meaning a little more driveway. So to get to the same number of units, we had less parking. And again, it's less public facing, less architecture out. So in the end, we determined along with staff that concept one is the most supportive of the station area plan and the intent of the form-based code. So that's what I've got for the initial presentation, and open to questions.
Thank you. I believe the panel and myself will dive into questions that we have. Randall, start with you.
Sure. Along 128th, where you've got a three level going on, what is going to happen on that street level or sidewalk level of those units?
We're gonna get front doors and a 9 foot, a typical plate height. And so the reason we're stepping up from garage to what we have is an extra tall garage, right? So we can have a normal size pedestrian entry. So you'll get, you know, a very nice looking, normal looking townhome entry. You get all frontage, and the grade won't vary much from the sidewalk. We're essentially meeting the sidewalk level.
So you really have a row house
type. Yeah, of yes, look. It's a row house type of a facade.
Yeah, with garages in back.
Garages in back, alley loaded. Yeah, thank you. Nicely landscaped within that 5 foot buffer. There'll be a connection to the sidewalk, and then, you know, a small patio entry.
Okay. Along the street side, or 85th, let's say the main street, 85th, what are you proposing on that ground floor? Is that a retail space?
So the form-based code allows for commercial space. It also allows for residential space. We're leaving it open to the owner. We want to maintain flexibility of use to those spaces.
Okay, so as each of these individual townhomes or row homes,
they'll own that space.
What you're saying is that front facing section onto 85th is up to the homeowner.
Yes.
As to what they want to do.
Correct.
So if somebody wants to live above their business,
that's correct.
Essentially live above your business or whatever. Okay. When you look at this on form base, it appears that you're really working on two units and then a connector or a recessed area and then it's a disconnect.
Yeah, this is still somewhat diagrammatic, right? At the massing level, primarily what we've developed is the site plan. But you're on to us in terms of massing, right? We're creating the necessary facade breaks by recessing the entry and the stair element of each unit.
Well, that is part of our
sure
our job here that we're looking at is looking at massing, and so I'm just trying to get my arms around what you're trying to set up as potential massing, or how, you know, what are your opportunities to say as to what you'll be working with. You're allowed to go to what, 40 feet in this?
Yeah, and that's the base height.
And where do you think you're going to end up? Are you going to be at that 40 feet, or are you going to use because of a pitched roof, you'll be able to get?
That's it. Yeah. The exception for pitch roofs will be fine on base plus exception.
Okay. I think that's the questions I have for right now. I may have to reserve the right to come back, but it's in first.
Of course. Thank you, Randall. Carlos.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for presenting tonight. For option one, how does the parking work for the commercial spaces?
So we've got, Let me give you the right number. I think it's 18 surface parking spaces. They're all within the community, right? So you see three available spaces and the rest are parallel stalls that are identified along the edges. So all the parking is internal, hidden from the streets, but sufficient parking, 19 is the number, 19 exterior parking stalls.
Will this have a special designation for commercial and residential, or it's gonna be all combined?
I believe they're all open and flexible.
Okay, and the code doesn't state anything regarding just making difference between each of
Correct, codes? We could get staff to confirm, but I believe that's the case.
Okay. Looking at option one and option three, it seems that the buildings that are facing 85th, at least just the massing is the same. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I see some changes with the massing on the buildings that are oriented on the west, and I think at some other areas between those two. But other than that, I'm just curious about what are the differences between option one and option three regarding buildings that are facing 85th.
No difference on those buildings.
So the footprint is essentially
the
same?
Those buildings are the same in this option.
Okay. Could you go to the slide where you have the building section of the preferred option and the floor plan, the site plan? Yeah, that one. Just for, yeah, that works. Just for the massing of the buildings that are facing 85th, what is the intent with the roof? Is it going to be a pitch roof?
It'll be a pitch roof for sure, but I think you caught me on a discrepancy, right? In the section, it's going one way, and in the massing, it's going the other. And so we haven't determined yet.
Okay.
We need to develop that for the next.
But you are expecting to have a pitch.
It'll be
roof.
Pitched for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that I was just reading that there's comment regarding orientation of plazas, and that they encourage storefronts to be around the plazas. How does that work here? Which buildings are going to be commercial and which ones are going to be residential? Just wondering if 128 also has commercial, or if it's only just...
There's no workspace or flexible space proposed along 128th. It's all along 85th. And we do intend to wrap transparency along the plaza on 85th. You see a little bit there in the diagram.
So I'm just wondering, because I believe that if you go to the code, let me just pull it up real quick. Station plan area. Whenever you go to the specifics of the code, it says that incorporate the storefronts directly at 128th Street corners to reinforce the desired pedestrian-oriented character of the district. So just wanted to make sure, be clear on what's the extent of the commercial and the storefront area.
Yeah, no, I hear your point exactly. Yeah. I think that'll be an important clarification as we develop.
Okay, so all the commercial areas are being proposed on these three options just to be on 85th, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Shannon?
Thank you. I appreciate the outline and walking through our options together. Really, my biggest concern was the parking, which has been addressed now. So thank you for asking that question. Other question remaining is for option two, it looks like, should we move in that direction, you are essentially dispersing the function of the plaza across, well, some remains on that corner of 128th and 85th. And I guess my question is then on the street, the 85th street edge where you're showing trees and access to the alley, will the function of the plaza be dispersed between those three items, those three locations, or will you essentially lose the function? As in, with the seating available in your option one plaza, will that be dispersed here, or are you?
I would say the amenity is less abundant, yeah. Right? That's on the corner. It's more like the minimum requirement, and then there is some disbursement to your question, but we also get less benefit from the stepping of the building. So we still have to address grade, say between the alley and the edge.
Oh, right.
So there would be a wall of some kind. We'd probably bring that in a few feet. Then you'd get the opportunity for seating and landscaping that addresses the street at those sort of mini plaza sections that you're asking about.
Got it. Thank you. Yes.
Yes, Mark's pointing out the reason why we have, honestly, the civil engineer would be better at describing it, but you know, we have a lot of grade challenges, and we've also got stormwater detention that's causing our site to be elevated relative to the public way. So we're dealing with it nicely by stepping those buildings, but here that issue would become more prominent.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Supriya.
Thank you. Can you go over the frontage on 85th? I'm still not clear because when I look at the code, it says residential stoop porch is not permitted, but it looks like you're having some commercial space at the bottom. Is that what I understand?
We're using a frontage type that's called urban street edge. And you're asking me about 85th, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so we're a major thoroughfare. We're using the frontage type that's called urban street edge. The requirements of that frontage type are to have a 15-foot ground floor level that you see in this section.
Yeah.
There's a transparency requirement. There's a facade breakups requirement. You have to face with entrances. The entrances have to be transparent. They want a minimum setback, like zero setback. There's a corner design element required, and there's weather protection required. So what we're saying is we're doing all of that.
But it's still a residential use, and that's permitted?
Okay. That's permitted. It's a flexible use. We're not restricting the use.
And it'll be owned by the owner, yes. who's going to be owning the town.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how that'll work, because if you have some sort of a commercial space, whether say it's an art studio by whoever is owning the townhouse, the amenities for that commercial space, whether it's trash collection, you know, if it's a bakery or whatever they want to do with it, I'm not clear how that's talked about in the code with the standards.
It's an art studio is a great idea. It's a great opportunity for small
business.
I'm just
thinking out loud how this is actually going to work, and it's not clear in my mind, because if you put a commercial space there, there needs to be some amenities to support it.
Yeah, I guess I would point out that a commercial space is not required there.
I get it. I understand that's how the code's written, but what's going to go in that space? Yes, in the facade treatment, you have the glazing, you have the clearances and setbacks and the canopy. What is really going to happen in that space is one of the questions.
So it's going to be the property owner's choice what happens in that space.
Okay. The other question I had was, did you look at the building that is on the east of that, of 128th? And what is the height compared to the what you're proposing here? There's a building on the corner, I think, on the other side.
I've got a massing model that I could bring up. You're asking me east, which is the 128th side. There's a three-story development next to us.
Two stories, approximately.
Yeah, so there's a two-story building on the corner, and then there's three-story homes behind that.
Yeah, I was just looking on 85th and 128th, but on the eastern corner. And because you're proposing a plaza on the western corner, and how does that whole corner relate to it? That's something I think we can look at for the next conference, but something to think about.
Okay, our plaza's on the northeast corner.
Correct. And I'm talking about the northeast corner, but This is on the eastern side of 85th, 128th, sorry.
Okay, yeah, you're saying let's relate to the neighbor, let's utilize that plaza to relate to what's happening on the other side.
Yeah, and seeing how that, it'll be interesting to see how the building heights compare, because you're also, there's some fill in wall, right, in your project and how that compares with this. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, thank you so much for the presentation. A few questions that I want to jump into also relates to what Spriya was saying as well, going into the business residential aspect. I actually do love that idea. I've seen that before. There's a couple places that I know, especially on Central Way, that have done that. So I do think it's a really cool concept, and it's a concept that even myself, if I had a small business, that's a great aspect as well. But the differences that I've seen is that that is a personally built on its own with a certain kind of zonage and permits for that particular resident. And you're doing something that's a little different where you're already recreating that. You're creating the concept that's going to have the businesses that the owners could eventually have their business in there. Again, not a bad idea. Great for someone who's trying to invest, especially for someone who's trying to start a small company or business. But the concern I have does sort of parlay into what Supriya was saying, is that there's certain aspects of commercial zoning and codes that may conflict when you're working on a larger space versus more of a one centralized, someone building this on their own, that you could run into. Have you guys foreseen that? And the other part too is, let's say that someone does buy that home and they say, oh, this is great, but I want to sublet that business space out. And let's say that business is something that maybe does not meet that code, or they run into a situation where it's something that could disrupt the neighborhood. Let's say, you know, as a guessing example, let's say maybe it's a record store, which I would think is actually really cool. But, you know, you could have people going in there playing crazy stuff, and, or it's, you know, opening for a band or something. How do you have that set up so there's ways that it won't disrupt or cause any sort of havoc inside of the other residential area?
Great question. And I want to hit on one thing here first, as we're kind of debating what's possible to do there or not. So this stationary plan is a land use code that was developed at least 24 months. And I just want to reaffirm, residential is permitted. We meet all the intent, storefront heights, widths, modulation, et cetera. And furthermore, in addition to, this is going to be a community governed by a set of CCNRs. And the last thing we want is a record store would be cool, you know, but there are certainly things that could impact the property values of your neighbors. And these have to be marketable. And if they aren't marketable, because you can do whatever you want down there, there has to be some restrictions. Furthermore, they don't have some of the utilities and infrastructure required to support a business. You know, I think we're envisioning that maybe the commercial element may be something like somebody has a home office or something like that, and they use this as their workspace, is the predominant commercial use of these. It's not intended to. And furthermore, if somebody was going in there, they'd have to satisfy all the occupancy requirements, egress requirements, et cetera, for various permits and approvals and licenses from the city. And so these are not just going to be any strip retail center that could be turned into a TI that you could do anything. These are going to be provide opportunity for the homeowners to operate a business, personal type business. They're creating, there's the opportunity to create kind of that ground floor frontage commercial feel, but there is realistically going to be a high usage of residential personal space as designed and allotted by the underlying code. So just want to clarify those couple points.
And you plan to put that into that transparency into the application process for that?
Pardon me?
Well, I'm just saying that you're planning to, obviously, if someone who was trying to purchase that and going through the application process, that's in there. You have that set of transparency.
I'm out of my lane. I'm speaking for Pete now. But, okay. You know, there are rules in these, like you can't paint your door red or something along those lines.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So Mark did a good job, which is why I didn't step up. I have, in my experience, we have built these before. You've probably heard of them as live work units, which is probably where your mind is all going. And yeah, we do tend to control them through CCNRs. We do also have disclosures to our buyers and let them know what you can and you can't do. And through the sales process, we educate our sales team to let them know specifically what can these uses do, what can't be done in these uses. And what we typically end up seeing is we'll see a tax accountant or we'll see something like that that's not a heavy use where you've got garbage, if you will, that needs to get taken out. Or I've never owned a nail salon, but I imagine they've got things that they have to do as well. But that's more along the lines of what you see. Do you think maybe a one-man Edwards Jones shop or something like that? But yeah, there is an education through our sales team. There are disclosures that people will know, and we very much educate our buyers as to what can and can't be done. And we do have some limitations with our CCNRs because we want to leave all of our communities in a way that keeps value or helps grow value, as opposed to letting one neighbor detract from the other neighbor's value. So I hope that helps. If you have more specific questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
It does. Thank you.
What's the approximate square footage of each of these units under the prescribed unit?
All three floors?
The commercial space area. What
do you know off the top of your head, Sean? They're about, yeah.
Okay, under 500.
Yeah,
okay. So there's not a whole lot of room there to do too much.
No.
There's a tax accountant, an attorney, that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, some sort of professional type deal. Now, what, from your experience with other units that you've done this way, when you put a commercial entity or a commercial type front on there, so we're talking a lot more glass,
mm-hmm,
and that type of thing. How, okay, somebody says, well, gee, I'm going to turn that into residential use. It's going to be the game room,
mm-hmm,
or whatever it may be. What do we do to stay away from a blank storefront? I mean, we've got other projects where we talk about, what happens, and I mean, we've had projects we're talking on, Central Way, where Bartell Drugs exited building. But before they exited, theirs was to put all their showcases with shelving focused into the building and a black glass wall on the backside. Is that part of your CCNRs to say, no, you can't blank off the windows, or what's your experience on that?
Honestly, I haven't seen that in any of the live works that I've done, so I haven't come across that. That's actually an interesting question that I think we have to think through. I honestly don't have a good answer for that one.
Yeah, because we confront this on a lot of the mixed-use facilities where you get the base, and you're saying, okay, what can and can't be commercial used, and then what is it going to look like? And now that Bartell Drugs was there, that seems to be kind of a hot point right now, that we don't want to have, two or three sections of the facade with open glass, and then you just got blank glass for half a block.
Right, right. Some activation all the way through. I honestly haven't run across that before, but I certainly will be thinking about it.
Is it okay if I continue a couple more questions? Okay. As far as your concept, as far as trash collection and this type of thing. I mean, there's a great point made that if these are commercial, now if it's an attorney or accountant, it's a bag of trash. And if that at all, I mean, there's very little paper coming out of offices anymore. But as far as the residential area here, does a garbage truck pull into this? And are these dry aisles where then it just goes around and each individual homeowner will work with the garbage company to pick up the trash? Or?
We've designed the units to have garbage in the garage and have space for garbage in the garage. But as far as the trash company, I know that Todd and his firm have done the turning analysis to ensure that that garbage trucks, fire trucks.
So the garage would be large enough for my oversized SUV and my garbage cans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Big Suburban.
Okay, no, that's always a consideration, and seems to be, yes, we got it, but then when we get done with it, it's like, oops, we didn't get enough in there, and I, or that's the one place you squeeze tighter because you need something someplace else. And I just, please don't do that.
Thank you, Randall. I do have a couple more questions. But first, I do actually have a question for the city going into regards to what Randall just pointed out about display. Is there something in the city codes that talks about any sort of front display or what can and cannot be in a commercial or commercial residential split sort of thing? Because I mean, like he was saying before, if you know that they wanted to use it for personal space or personal use and they have the glass and let's say it's open and they're sitting there watching one of the games and having a beer, I would think it's a bar and walk into it. So is there certain display regulations that you think would come into play?
We have to look into that more. I mean, we really just talk about the transparency of the glass and the requirements for that. But what goes on inside of the spaces, we can look into that issue and provide some guidance on that next time.
Great. Thank you. So moving on from that, and again, I do, you know, we do dive into these because this is a very unique thing that we've come into, and it is something that is very interesting, but you know,
agreed.
Don't let us,
yeah, no, please.
Don't let all the questions and the dive deeps think that it's us reflecting into a negative way. We're just trying to understand and see the vision behind it and make sure that everything's laid out right. I did want to bring up a question that was given from someone of the audience that was given to us earlier, that was brought up earlier. The concern is around the fact of an inflation of traffic, because this would be a high increase. Mm-hmm. And there's a school that is located nearby and there's a lot of school traffic that happens. I can personally understand that because my house is very close to a school, and with kids, it can be, you know, it can be challenging, definitely in the morning times when it comes to that. My question around that is, have you thought that out and come up with a pre-plan to see how you'll be able to sort of not fix that issue? You're going to run into that regardless, especially with new residents coming in, and probably half the residents will have children and might want to attend the elementary school. But have you thought about that in a way of how you would ease the pain of more inflation in that area?
I guess I'd let me hit that.
So great question. Traffic's always on top of everyone's mind, especially when, you know, there's a proximity to an elementary school neighborhood. We all know 85th doesn't fly like it used to. So as part of the station area adoption, there was an environmental impact statement done for the entirety of the station area, which included a SEPA determination, reserving. I don't know, John, do you know how many trips? A lot of trips. That came out wrong. excuse me. A tremendous amount of trips. It's something like the tune of 5,000 or more. They're more than that. And so for the station area, there's been an analysis for all the surface streets, the proximities, the high schools, the elementary schools. And so we don't actually have a SEPA process to go through. We apply for a planned action determination that says, yep, there's still 5,000 trips available. You guys need 750. In this case, it's going to be much, much smaller. As I mentioned earlier, we have applied and would have gotten a traffic reservation for well over 750 units. And here at 89 units, with a similar amount on a a proportionate basis, this is going to be a fraction of what, you know, effectively we could have already had by now. So this, long of the short of it is, this is about, with the intent of minimizing traffic adjacent to Rose Hill Elementary, this is about as great as a use as you can have to minimize travel through the other neighborhoods to school and 85th. There'll be others down the road that are more intense and have greater traffic impacts, but given the size and the scale of this project, it's going to be relatively small given the size and the scale of the potential developable nature up to 85 feet of this 3.5 acres.
Yeah, so I'll just add to that. So the other half of that equation is part of that EIS study. There was a list of mitigation or capital improvement projects that were associated to mitigate the impacts of the additional trips. So they'll be going through an analysis, and part of that, there'll be a determination how much they'll have to contribute to those projects. So there will be mitigation. It's just we done it. It was done in a more comprehensive manner.
I appreciate that transparency. And that also relates into why you picked the option that you guys preferred as well.
That's one of the driving factors, yeah. 85th Street curb cut. I know that was a comment that you guys got earlier. I asked no less than 10 times, how do I get the curb cut on 85th? And the answer was always a very definitive no. We're trying to consolidate, especially if you have additional entrances, because as we know, it is hard, and it would have been limited to right in, right out only, and we were perfectly fine with that. And still, that was an option that was, from day one, told that we would not be able to turn on to 85th just to try and maintain what flow there is when there is flow. So,
I see. Understand. Thank you. Thank you for that. And thank you again from our panel as well. I believe at this time, we can ask members of the audience for any questions or comments.
I think everybody in attendance is here with the applicant, correct? Okay.
So, correct.
Katie, do we have anybody online?
I just have a question. Has the applicant finished his presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that across. Appreciate it. all right. Since we don't have any questions or comments from the audience or from the public.
So it does look like we do have two attendees. I guess I would ask those attendees if they would like to speak to raise their virtual hand at this time. Okay, going once, going twice. All right.
All right. I believe at this time now that we can go into discussion and guidance as far as next step. And Randall, I'll pivot over to you.
Okay, the first thing is always trash collection. How do they, how does your neighbor next door pick up their trash can, move it into their garage, and are this going to be in the garage or is it going to be in the front? Is the width of the drive aisle that goes down through that, does each unit have 2 feet in front of the garage to where, my next door neighbor is going to have his trash cans lined up there 7 days a week? So,
And Randall, you're right. It's something that this is a product type that is very, very common these days, and trash for a long time was an issue, and now it's comprehensively included in the overall site planning.
Okay.
And then the overall governance of the community itself.
So we would be asking for when your next presentation is really to have a very distinct display as to how that's handled and taken care of, and that'd be great. I do still have concern of the commercial along 85th as to what are the guidelines, and I don't know what those, given that we've got a new code, but then we look at, even what our previous code is for this, what happens to a full glass front in a residential nature, and what does that look like? And we're fighting that downtown and even in commercial space. And so this may or may not be a problem there. I'm going to take a shot at addressing the traffic issue. And years of experience of running traffic reports, doing all sorts of things and putting numbers out there and everything like that. But, and then running, running parking operations for a variety of different organizations and that type of thing. What you're going to find here with that school, and this is personal experience from living a block and a half away from Kirkland Junior, well, I call it Kirkland Junior High, but Kirkland Middle School and Peter Kirk Elementary, about two and a half blocks away from there. And there's two 20-minute periods in the morning and two 20-minute periods in the afternoon that you just have to be, as a neighbor, you just have to be cognizant of what's going on. And you pull out and you go, oh crap, I'm too early or I'm too late, and I either got to wait, it's going to be slow getting through, or I cut through the Crestwoods Park and go around the north side and avoid it. And so it is trying to design a system, a traffic system for 24/7 that's perfect. Just, it doesn't work. But yet when you really look at it and say for 40 minutes out of a day, you may have a problem. And if you don't understand that, you will learn it fairly quickly and you'll know that you go a different direction and that type of thing. And so it's just same thing about being around churches on Sunday, being around, you know, a variety of there. And so it's a cultural thing. It's learning the culture and really looking at when you look at the schools and that type of thing, it's fun to watch the kids. It's rather interesting to watch the parents and that type of thing. And so I don't, you know, as I look at that, yeah, the traffic reports support it. It says there's 750 trips and all that type of thing. But, you know, you talk to the general public and their eyes will glass over and go, have no clue what that means. And so that's just that. That's my comment on that particular issue, because I think they've already downsized this particular project considerably from what we could have, you know, a 3 or 4 over 1 or whatever solid block mass similar to what's going on over at Bridal Trails. And so, and we don't have that. And so that's, I think, I look at it, I think the option that they're presenting and being able to look at the 128th to be more of a residential stoop and getting that design in such a manner to where it does interact with the front, with the sidewalk, it does interact with school kids walking up and down the street, that type of thing. We tried to do that over at the Bridal Trails Shopping Center, but it seemed to get cut off into a secure building. And so this gives a very good example of being able to really activate, if that's the right word, that particular sidewalk and street line with the residential row houses. And so I think that's, you know, my suggestion would be is that we take a look at what those fronts look like and how do they interact and that type of thing, because, you know, is it the front door or is the front door for the residents the garage door clicker? But I think that starts to set up 128th into really a townhouse type deal. And I think this project, by doing that, it'd start to be a showpiece when you start looking at potential, you know, where we're looking at some potential possibilities of rezone of transportation arterials and this type of thing that want to go to 3 and 4, 6 stories. It's really how do you treat that street? And so my concern or my direction would be is that we really look at this and say, okay, along 128th, how do those units really, really interact with that sidewalk and make that work as really kind of a row house type deal to where I think that's going to end up being your high value units when you really look at it and going back and forth. So those would be, I don't think there's anything else that the only other thing would be parking for commercial. I'm not quite sure when each residence controls the commercial space and you got a client coming over to visit a accountant and he's got to park somewhere in the maze. It's going to take a trip or two before they figure that one out, or they park across the street at the auto parts store, I guess. I don't know how that would be, but I see the commercial parking as being kind of a confusing issue. So
I was thinking even that, at the school, you know, if let's say a client was coming, they could accidentally park over at the school and let's cross the street and
yeah.
issues there. I see where you're going with this, Randall.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept as far as having 500 square feet of commercial or office, but I do see it as, you know, when all the things that are spinning around from work from home, and a few residents sit there and say, we all work for Amazon, but there's three of us are going to come over and we're going to work here. I mean, my future son-in-law would absolutely love it. So, and he works internationally, having something like that. I like the concept. I like concept number one, their preferred choice. And it does really work that there appears to be no real blank walls to it, because I assume that the walls that face off to the west and that are actually going to be residential windows and that type of thing. And they're set back far enough to where we don't have fire code issues and that type of thing. So those are my comments.
Randall. Carlos.
Thank you. I think I broke my comments down into four different points or three different points. The first one is just talking about street activation. I think that we all, or most of the comments that I've heard tonight, agree on 85th and what the proposed or allowed use for the commercial spaces are. I think that the spaces are limited to hold multiple types of retail or commercial uses, and the applicant has expressed that it sounds to be more like an office space use rather than, I don't know, like a store, well, like a restaurant or some other type of use.
Based on entertainment.
Yeah. I'm just curious about how this is going to work. The city has put a lot of effort into trying to convert this area into a more pedestrian activated space. And having an office there, it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to meet the activation. I know that it's allowed, and the applicant can pick based on the different uses that are allowed there. But just to be in line with the guidelines, I find it a little bit challenging, honestly. I think the other point that a lot of board members got brought up tonight is how it's going to work, the commercial space, how it is going to be successful. I think that the space, if it's going to be commercial, it needs to be reviewed in a way that everything works, and not only just the type of use that is facing the 85th, but also kind of like the services that it's going to require. Trash enclosure is one of those. I wasn't really sure or clear on how the applicant is sizing the trash enclosure. You are going to have three sets of buildings with multiple tenants, probably. So not really sure if the trash enclosure is going to be enough to sustain all those different spaces that you're going to have in there. And going now into this configuration of the internal or off street areas, I also have a hard time envisioning how the commercial spaces are going to be, the commercial parking spaces are going to be utilized. I it seems that in order to park here, you'll need to go into these neighborhood space area, which is surrounded by a lot of townhouses. So I think that it's going to be confusing just to use that. And it might be perceived just for use of the residents. So this might just, and I'm just thinking about this based on experience, it might be just commercial spaces or parking commercial spaces might be just taken by residents as their own. But that's what I think. I think that there might be guidelines that dictate how these are used, but just the first instance. That's how I perceive it. Then the plaza location, I think they have some issues with where it's located. So this property sits kind of like right in the limits of the Rose Hill Gateway district. Once you go more to the east, you get the other building that it used to be a bank. I think that right now there's nothing, or it appears that there's nothing there. But for the plaza, the intent of the plaza is to, again, activate this area. I don't know if just putting it all the way to the end of the district is going to actually improve activation, or if just the plaza is going to be there as a part of a landscape area. I think that if it really is going to be activated, or is going to serve to activate the commercial street on 85th, it might be more successful to be placed in between the commercial buildings or more close to the west, because there might be, the city has plans to redevelop that entire area to the west, not to the east. So it might be nice to have the plaza and create that interaction with the adjacent property that is going to get redeveloped, rather than having it all the way to the east where it's just going to be part of landscape, to my interpretation. Part of these guidelines state that the plazas are encouraged to be surrounded by storefronts, so it might be probably more encouraging for activation if you place the plaza in between your buildings rather than just till the end, where only one building is facing the plaza and the others are just facing the street. I think that might be an option. You could have storefronts that open up to the plaza rather than just storefronts that open up to the street where nothing is happening. Other than that, I'm just curious to see how the sidewalks interact with the buildings. It seems that the city and the code are giving very specific requirements for the widths of the bike lanes, pedestrian, and the buffers. So I'm just looking forward to, or hoping that the applicant brings something that can change the tone of this street. I think that we've seen a lot of applicants that they just mind about just the building, but they don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on for the sidewalks. So I think that this will set the precedent definitely for this whole district. And as being the first, I think it's going to be challenging, and it's going to be, I guess, fun and interesting for the applicant just to address that. Yeah.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes.
That's the.
Yeah. That's all that I have.
All right. Thank you, Carlos. Shannon.
Thank you. Just a couple items. I guess I would, be the third to reinforce the parking concern. I envision you could resolve some of that potential confusion with signage. Sure, commercial parking within, the property, enter here, whatever. Without distinguishing between commercial use only and, open availability for residents, I would expect somebody's second car to live there for an extended period of time, or residential visitors to leverage those spaces maybe more so. And that could be a challenge on the commercial side, in my opinion. I think that we've talked a lot about, and you've done a beautiful job with the scaling, the massing, the permeability along 85th and 128th. I appreciate both of those approaches. And I can see that, being very successful as you dive into materiality and engaging with the neighbors and finding a sensitive kind of solution there. I guess I would like to see in your next round some of the elevations for the south edge and the southern corner of the west edge, particularly the southern corner of that west edge, those the bottom and the middle building sitting behind an existing building, and it seems pretty narrow on what becomes their front porch. I would just be concerned that you've got some units that are very clearly lesser than the others, perhaps. And so I feel a little nervous about what that might feel like for the resident. So I'd just love to see that studied. I think that going back to the views of from the public view, the main point of entry is on 128th, I believe, and the direct line of sight is into the alley, which is garages, if I'm not mistaken. That's garage access for those units on both sides. So wondering if there's a way to make that maybe a little bit softer, more kind of visually beautify that space so that you're not looking down, you know, a row of garages as your main point of entry. I'm sure that corner is going to be gorgeous with landscaping and signage, but and then kind of going to the plaza, I think that was a really interesting point about being on the edge of the district, and I don't think that that's necessarily a negative, you know, solution, or the solution presents problems necessarily. I think it's actually an opportunity to, especially, I think you mentioned, you know, you're going to engage art within the landscaping and other amenities. So maybe that becomes an identifier, you know, as an opportunity for this to kind of call attention to, like, you're entering, you know, this new district and welcome. That's a wonderful thing. But one of my questions was, could you, in your next iteration, show us a little bit more about the northwest corner as it hits 85th, and talk about the permeability there, particularly for pedestrians? There might be that wall because of the grade change, but if you were to study the plaza on that corner, could it be an opportunity to sort of knit in with the next site over, which, sure, we don't have plans on that right now, but it's an opportunity to kind of open up for pedestrian use or sight lines that are interesting. And if those three commercial parking spaces stay where they are, having that visual connection to 85th might help people recognize as they're approaching that, oh, there is parking available. I can see where I need to be, even if I enter from the other side. That might be an opportunity. I think that's everything in my notes. Thank you so much. I'm excited to see the next iteration.
Thanks so much, Shannon. Supriya?
For me, the comments really are, since you have really talked about the urban street edge and used that part of the code, is that in your next iteration that you really look at what they're asking for in terms of, you know, they talk about a public realm consistent with the walkable mixed-use environment, talk about a pedestrian-oriented facades. So even the massing that you're thinking up on 85th, I'll be looking for that and how that is going to be pedestrian-oriented. So addressing that, same thing with landscaping. Because I think that's how we're going to look at this code, because it's form-based code, right? And so how you address those and really reflect that in your facade development and your frontage is going to really dictate how successful this is. Because right now it looks like this is a really long facade. Yes, you can make it transparent, but what does it look from a pedestrian point of view? And then the plaza, how do you integrate that plaza so that it's actually a usable feature and not just a dead end that nobody really is going to? Is it really you're creating a destination where people, they're walking and it's like, okay, let's sit here for a little bit before we go to the next place? Or is it just going to be at, you know, a dead-end plaza that nobody uses. So I think those are the things from the code that I would encourage you to look at and try to reflect in the next iteration. A comment for the city, I think looking at parking, considering the codes are talking about an urban street edge, would have been to have street parking along that, along 85th, at least in front of this development, to address some of those concerns of parking, because it's not a lot of parking, but we're allowing, you know, some sort of a commercial professional use space. Would it be nice to have some street parking or some sort of a way? What else did I have? I think those are kind of my overall comments, and how you do that with 3D images, elevations, I'm going to leave that up to you. But yeah, that's what I'm going to be looking at, is really looking at the code in driving and how this facade on 85th is going to reflect and create that street frontage for a pedestrian. So I had.
And Supriya, I have just one comment. Now that you talked about parking, off-street parking, I think that one of the possibilities or options that the applicant could explore is maybe identifying the plaza as the common element that brings people here. Maybe the plaza can be some sort of landmark for having the commercial parking close by, so people can drive by, park there, walk, activate the plaza, and from there start walking down on 85th. It doesn't need to be facing 85th Street, but it might be an opportunity for rethinking how this development access for the people that are going to be using the commercial or going to be visiting the commercial spaces and parks close to the plaza, and activates the plaza just by having people being a point of transition. Maybe that's something that the applicant could look into. You all want to make this successful. I think that Supriya brought a good point about just making sure that the plaza is not just a dead end, just another area that you are assigning for some sculpture and that's it, but actually bringing a benefit that will help you, your commercial space has been activated, will make or identify the commercial parking areas and will activate the entire development that you are proposing. That's all.
Is there, what are the amenities for the townhomes? Like, is there like a park space or a play area that's been identified for the townhomes itself?
Per the underlying zoning, there are requirements for public open space as well as private open space. And we comply with those with a mix of techniques, including we have a paseo. These site plans didn't bring and activate, you know, not only the plaza, but some of the common elements that are often offered for open space. But no, there is no tot lot, for instance, to be incorporated into the project.
Because you do have, what do you think, 89 residents, right? So you would think there would be families there with kids and...
There's a strong potential, yes. And, you know, that's one of the reasons Kirkland is such a desirable place to live, is the variety of open spaces, public open spaces, accessible parks, tennis courts, waterfront access. We do have a school, as it was noted, about a block and a half, two blocks to the north. It has a nice play area that is frequented often outside of school areas or out school hours. So there's just a tremendous amount of public open space that's very, very heavily relied on throughout the community. And that's what makes this region, this area, so desirable.
Okay.
Any other comments? I want to thank my colleagues and the panel again for the feedback. It was very informative, and I think that we're going in the right direction. And obviously, for the city for making that list that we will go over at the end. I guess my final comments, I support my colleagues here when it comes to the optimism, but also the concerns that we have here now. You know, especially with the fact that there is a school that's in the two blocks vicinity of where this is going to be done. I love the aspect that there's going to be a residential place that is nearby. That I feel offers an opportunity for more kids to be able to attend. It also makes it feel safer for the parents, knowing that there's going to be more of a residential versus something that was going to be strictly commercial. So it's offering that. But the other part of it too is that when you're this new concept that we're doing as far as making a commercial business inside of a residential, again, it's a very cool, very unique concept. But I think that there's going to be needing a big sense of transparency what can be put in there. Because going back into the fact that there is going to be a school that is nearby, it needs to be something that is appropriate and also something that doesn't cause any sort of impact to the community, to the school, and also to the residents as well. And then going into the aspects of the parking, coming up with solutions and ways that can help that, like utilizing, like as you said, the plaza and other neighboring areas. But, you know, God forbid, let's say that someone does purchase this and decide to put in a daycare. You know, and we all know the kind of nightmare that can cause, not only when it comes to traffic, but also to the residents as well. And I knew a couple townhomes that try to do that themselves. So again, going back to that transparency of making sure that whoever is planning to move forward to purchase that and wants to put a business in there, that there is a very clear discrepancy of what can be done that does not disturb the community or the residents that's around there. Supriya did make a good call out. I mean, yes, even though we do have the luxury in the great city of Kirkland of having, you know, a large sense of community, trying to bring more people out, utilizing different parks and places, you know, such as the different school zones and area that they could, you know, bring their kids to. There is also, and I've always noticed this common trend that's people inside of their residence and in their community also like to have a communal common ground. And I can say that when it comes to my own neighborhood. My own neighborhood has several homes that are in it, and we're all in one of those typical big cookie cutter communities. But what keeps us and has kept people together and communicating and feeling safe is knowing that there is a space that is designed for them where everybody can come together during the holidays, potlucks, et cetera, like that. So even though there is 89 residencies that are there, if there's a way to maybe subtract that or maneuver things around to create maybe a small space of community where the residents can feel a place of amenity, of coming together, I think that would be extremely beneficial in your aspect. But other than those areas that we've addressed, I believe that you guys are on to a good start in creating something that can be maybe the forefront. If this is successful, it could lead the idea or the motivation to other concepts along that line. But again, there's going to be definitely challenges that are going to come to head. And I think that those areas that we discussed are good points to start in. I'll leave it at that. That concludes my statement. Anybody else has any other further comments? Do we have anything further from the city?
So just to clarify, it sounds to me like you're all in favor of them moving forward to the design response conference with the preferred concept that they have presented today.
Is that correct?
I'm not fully Sure about that. Just that's personal me. I don't think of the plaza currently where it's located, and with the layout that the applicant has presented, is meets the guideline requirements for activation, street activation, and I'm not sure at this point if it helps with the purpose of just have it around the storefront, making sure that it connects with the street and how the parking is going to work for the commercial spaces. I'd like to ask if there's a possibility for the applicant to review and provide an option that can satisfy this. Tonight we saw three options. Option one and option three had the same plaza configuration, and option two had some spaces with landscaping. And I know that it had the plaza on the side. It wasn't described as that much. The applicant didn't go into detail on how it worked. So I'd like to see another option that fully captures the purpose of the plaza, and also I think that picks up some of the comments that we have provided regarding commercial parking as well. Does that make sense?
Sure. So to be clear, we're providing the two frontage types, right? We're providing the urban street edge and the neighborhood stoop. We're not utilizing the plaza frontage, which is a frontage type. With the urban street edge, we're required to have a corner feature, 300 square feet. We've chosen to provide a larger corner feature voluntarily. So I feel like with some of these comments, they become penal towards the project, right? Where we could actually provide more building, less plaza, and be conforming. So we're trying to provide this enhanced corner feature as opposed to sort of redesign the project around the concept of a plaza frontage.
I don't think I'm asking for redesigning the entire thing. It's just looking at other options for plazas that can be more successful. I know that the applicant has demonstrated kind of like the gesture with having the plaza, the open space. I know that there's some area that you need to keep for the sidewalk, in terms that you had kind of like an angle line at the intersection that was basically opening more space. But I mean, that's a requirement, right?
That represents the minimum corner feature requirement. So what I'm saying is,
but you could still push the buildings more to the side and maybe play with the layout configuration to see if the parking can be connected with the plaza, and if the plaza can be connected with the commercial spaces, and thinking or planning about future plans for the property on the west that can integrate the plaza and the activation of the street along 85th?
Well, let me see. I think what we could do is design an amazing corner feature and plaza that will make everybody proud and happy, as opposed to relocating it.
There's also one thing that unfortunately is not seen is we have a fundamental civil constraint: is stormwater only drains downhill, and the only place we can connect is such that it's literally 10 feet off the property. And so this isn't something that is well seen, but what happens is at the highest point in the northwest corner of the property, we have to, because of our detention vault requirements, we have to raise the site, because the minimum outfall depth and the requirements for storm, which unfortunately we're being constrained by storm from creating, you know, potential options, 6 feet, and it literally feathers down to like 1 or 2 feet at the very northeast corner where we've located that. We iterated with Tony and John, this frontage, and Allison and Adam and the entire staff a dozen times, and we tried to look at a scenario where it's at the west. Just a FYI, the car wash there just entered into a 45-year ground lease. So it's at some point in the future, but not in my lifetime per se.
We did look at a plaza scenario in the middle. You get a lot of ramping, you get stairs. We even looked at a long rectangular plaza, a cascading. We have looked at the frontage type like many, many times, many meetings with the city, many, let's try this on. And what we, as Sean noted, we've got this urban street edge, which we comply with the underlying zoning requirements. Sean iterated, we need a 300 square foot corner element, and we've got a 2000 square foot corner element that we think creates a tremendous opportunity for public, private interaction, communal gathering space. And, you know, if there was an opportunity to respond, to iterate to the next iteration, move to the next iteration and respond to this, we could kind of highlight some of those and show you what they looked like. But at the same time, really focusing on some of these commercial activation, ground floor pedestrian, you know, what is the pedestrian look and feel of the 85th? A lot of the guidance you've given us, I think I've got a tremendous amount of notes that I think we could, in response to this evening's meeting, really come and have a very meaningful next discussion. And then kind of also fall back on some of your concerns, Carlos, that we show you exactly. We could bring some, we have our civil engineer if we want to show you and, you know, really validate how some of these were kind of challenges that I think collectively we all agreed they weren't what the city was looking for along this 85th Street frontage. So I just want to highlight this. We've looked at this frontage for a long, long time.
And no worries. And yeah, I believe that. Thanks for daylighting this information, because I don't think that none of the board members knew about these iterations. And just asking the staff, has the staff looked at these options for the plaza with the applicant before? Did you go through this process with them and looking at all the options that they described tonight?
Yeah, I mean, there was they relayed to us the issues regarding stormwater and some of the impacts that has on the placement of the plaza. Yeah, just for the CDC, we reviewed, you know, three different sets of plans. Prior to that, there was a couple other plans that they submitted that we looked through and commented back to them on the issues we saw and things like that.
So this is really their only option?
What's that?
This is, I like to say, because like this is a little different for the board, because this is a forum-based code approach.
Yeah.
This is the first of your real, you know, dive into this code. So in terms of the question you're asking is, do they comply with the forum-based code? I think the answer is yes. Where the board's going to have a lot of discussion is what you were talking about earlier about the details and how the guidelines are actually being met. So in terms of activation, the interaction with the public realm, landscaping, the amenities, all that good stuff. So it's a little different, so I totally get it. They've worked with us to try to really figure out how do we present the board this kind of new concept of how do we address the form-based code. So at least what Tony has done in his analysis and the staff report, I think, reflects all that.
I see it that we've got kind of two things going on here. Is that we've got the form-based code, and, you know, for the last 2 years, 2 years plus, we've been dealing with commercial space, you know, continually all along the base of a building and 3 to 4 to 6 stories built above it. And when we talk about commercial, we think about space. The thing that we've got to look at here is that these are 500 square foot spaces. That's it.
500 square feet in New York is a lot.
But this is Kirkland. And yeah, you know, but it's still what I look at it is I look at the applicant needs to look at that. And as you look at these deals, you've got a canopy going across and got a sidewalk all the way across in front of it so it looks commercial. Or is it the regular sidewalk with a 6-foot sidewalk going up to the building with a little bit of landscape in front of it so that it isn't the commercial that we envision downtown, like, you know, like the U.S. Bank building that we just went through, where you've got continual glass from, you know, floor to ceiling and this type of thing. And so there's a difference here. There's a difference concept here that's going on with what you're trying to produce. And so, yeah, I feel that, you know, they're going to have to, in their CCNRs, restrict even more so than what's allowed by code, but in the CCNRs, put it in as that there's other restrictions that keep it that way. But as you look at this, it really, yeah, there's going to be people that, yeah, they want to try and put a 7-Eleven in a 500 square foot store. And I mean, in downtown New York or in New York City, yeah, but I don't think that's going to be here. And there's just not enough volume of traffic up and down the street for that kind of retail. And so that's a retail deal. When we talk commercial, I think we're really looking more commercial office, small office, the attorney, the accountant, the right, the architect, the semi-retired that's still consulting, whatever. And I mean, I look at it from my point of view is wow, this would be a great situation of dealing with a small business and dealing with the IRS and saying, here's my office. So there's just a lot of things that can happen with this. And I think it gives us that. Now, the other aspect of this is, and you're right, but they're saying these are 3- and 4-bedroom units. There's very little product that we have reviewed in the last 2 years that have had pretty much all 3- and 4-bedroom. They've all been studio 1, some 2-bedroom, and maybe a few 3-bedroom, but we're talking 3- and 4-bedroom. So this is an intermediate step up. This is, you're coming out of an apartment, you're buying a house or row house, and then you hopefully maybe go to single family or whatever it may be, if that even still exists in 20 years. So I look at it, I just feel we're putting a lot of emphasis on commercial when it's not exact. Yeah, it fits the code as commercial, but it also fits it as residential.
I think there's also the part about activation. How do you activate it if there's nobody there or if there are so few people that are using it? So the code says that 85th pedestrian street has to be activated.
But when you look at that and say, okay, we activate commercial, we got to have what, concrete all the way across the front of the building, and you're walking up and down.
It's about uses, right? It's about uses.
Yeah, it's about uses, and
it's a different style of commercial, and we just aren't used to that.
Randall, but you were talking a few minutes ago about we've been dealing with retail uses with 6-foot sidewalks. Here you are getting a 10-foot sidewalk plus a bike lane for a very limited use that is going to be an office. Honestly, that entire sidewalk, 10 feet, it's going to be more than huge. What they need. That sidewalk is never going to be activated just for people walking in there. It's never going to be fully utilized for the type of use of an office.
You're absolutely right. And when you look at the plan, it looks like there's a sidewalk that runs right up against the face of the building and goes down the street. I don't think that's the case. I don't know if I'd want my residents having people walking down the sidewalk, look, you know, right elbow in the window. But you've got plenty of room. You've got the sidewalk out front. You got the bike lane and this type of thing happening. And so just that in itself presents us a different look than what we've dealt with. I don't think there's any other project that we've dealt with that even comes close to this. I mean, the Bloom project, which I'm not sure if any of you are here when that project came through, it's 3 blocks up the street on the north side of the street. Again, it's apartments, and it's got standard, you know, square rectilinear retail in front of it. This is using the form code to say, okay, we can put retail here, or we put residential, but we're giving them the ability to give that first floor commercial, and it gives Kirkland a different look a different angle and that we haven't seen before.
I agree with you on that. I think that this is a very unique and a very unique opportunity to really enhance their environment, and also a way to also invite the community in different aspects, depending on what that business is. I mean, exactly what you said. Of course, you know, we were joking about a 7-Eleven, but if they do put one in, I'm going to hold you to it. but no, when we've looked at different projects and we see and we hear commercial, we're thinking a large scale of a business, of a retail store. And again, this is only 500 square feet. So you're really thinking of someone who's, you know, getting into insurance or, you know, like you said, an attorney. Yeah. It's very small. And I've seen concepts and I have seen them here in Kirkland. And one of them that I pointed out earlier that attracts, that I think is a beautiful concept is one that's on Market Street, where it's a family home and they have a small little salon that's attached to the house. But the way that they have it designed, you cannot even tell. And I'm sure that they can play with the layouts and how to have it so it doesn't look so commercial, doesn't have to be so, gives off that persona. I think that there's ways that they can use and create a facade that it seems like it's one. The only thing that I have concern, or the few things that I have concern in that, is just making sure that there's a real strong sense of transparency, of making sure that whatever the commercial space is being used for obviously doesn't affect the residents, surrounding residents, meets the code. Carlos, you pointed out that there's this large sidewalk aspect to it. Is it going to be something that is supposed to be utilized for this? Just making sure that those things are into play. But then also, you were talking about where the plaza is located. If it has to be at that front end, I mean, we're going to be wanting to look at something that's going to be very attractive, that meets all of the expectations that we are looking for, especially when it comes to, you know, enhancing the residents, the community together. That's going to be really essential if we're going to be moving forward with the plans that they have into place. And I think that we just need to be very transparent about that.
Can I layer on that too? I think that, you know, we talked about wanting to activate and have the, what was the term that is in the guidelines for activation along the street edge? Is it just activation? Okay, so we want to activate the street edge. We have a deep sidewalk, and this might not be a, you know, heavily trafficked commercial space. I think that there are other ways to inspire, demonstrate, create activation in terms of, like, with the plaza and with the deep sidewalk, creating something that is interactive and immersive, some kind of expression, whether that's through art or, you know, a physical art, a light responsive thing, something happening in the actual sidewalk, you know, something maybe built in seating along the storefront, so that you're going to have people pause and sit and perch and play, particularly depending on what you do with that plaza as landmark approach, I guess, on the corner. I think you could activate the property in a, let's say, unexpected or not traditionally built manner, I guess. Or rather, a built manner, not the you know, the commercial attraction kind of being what we're leaning on.
I absolutely agree with you. And I just look at it, you've got an architectural concept. It's going to be fun to watch to see how you solve the Rubik's Cube, because it's residential, it's commercial, and it needs to be activated. Each of those need, residential, commercial, need to be activated another way, a separate way. But the one thing that this, I hope that this project does along 128th and along 85th, is that it does activate and it does tie in and it does work with the community. Because I think we've missed it on other projects. and we've talked about it, but we've missed it. And this one has a huge ability to grasp that with the fronts along 128th that the homes open onto the sidewalk and come out. They aren't, you know, they aren't like over at 6th and 85th where you walk along the side of the urban apartment buildings there and they all have fences and little gates and landscaping that separate it. There's no activation there. There's no, nice landscaping. It looks nice, but there's no interaction going on with that building. And I just hope that this one can interact and that. And but I see it as there's an architectural issue here, a concept that has a whole lot of opportunity. And it's going to be fun to see what they come back with.
And you know, you can do that with massing. You can do that with massing as well. Play with the massing along that street. Pedestrian scale elements.
Any more comments? Okay. Do we have, does the city have everything that we need as far as the next meeting? And I think that we should change the name to Projects Rubik Cube.
So I do have a list, listening to your discussion on the items you'd like to see, for the design response conference. Here's my list. Really want you want to see how trash collection on the site will work. Second item is really looking at the, transparency of the workspaces and how that's going to work. And, are there ways to ensure that, the transparency remains throughout the uses that could potentially go there. Frontage details of the units along 128th and how those interact with the sidewalk. You want to look at them, provide details on how the parking for commercial uses will work, and also to potentially look at maybe trying to relocate that closer to the plaza area to maybe activate that plaza. You want to see elevations for all building facades. That is typically something that we request of the applicant. Plaza design details for the northeast plaza, and also looking at connecting that, you know, with the neighborhood as far as the design is concerned. The northwest corner, looking at details, how that's going to work. Looking at the urban street edge design along Northeast 85th and how the project is going to meet those requirements. And finally, look at the possibility of incorporating some kind of a park for residents within the site.
I would recommend that we have some sort of 3D modeling as all possible and variety of building, and I'm not saying full building sections, but you know, when you look at the 85th Street, what happens in front of these commercial spaces and how does that work? Cross sections coming there, showing where sidewalks and that type of thing is. You know, what happens on 128th, because you talk a lot about grade differential and this type of thing, and we can take a look at that in section to see how difficult it is and what we're asking you to do. And then the landscape plan as to how you will fit that into an urban landscape plan and how that will work. And then I assume we go all the way to the color board and that and material usage, correct?
Yep.
And
I think there were some other comments as well regarding, well, I think it was in your report, Tony, regarding showing compliance with lot coverage. Also, submitting ABE height calculations, overhead protection, detailed plans indicating compliance with ground floor design. And there's a portion, and I'm not really sure if this is for staff or for the applicant, regarding a green infrastructure and demonstrating compliance with that. Would it be possible if the applicant could go over that in the next meeting? Thank you.
I did want to add, there was one, I think Shannon brought up this up, from the site entry, the entry from 128th, yeah, and how that works, right, with the look, you know, with the rest of the site right now, right, it's kind of looking down that alley. Is there some tweaks to that to kind of make that more appealing?
Mm-hmm.
I would also say in that process, is there the opportunity for artwork or something of that order on the site? You know, what kind of presentation you may have on that, or preliminaries, or just concepts or ideas?
Great call outs. Thank you, Carlos, for that too. I think that's very essential. And we have all that.
Yeah. I guess I would ask Sean or Mark if they've got any questions for Ward.
No, this has been very helpful. I appreciate all your input. Looking forward to the next one. It's going to be exciting, and we're very excited about this project, and this input's going to help us advance plans. So thank you guys, and John and everybody, thank you guys as well.
That said, should we go into motion to adjourn?
I think I do need to go through some administrative.
Oh.
It's very minor. So the next meeting will be on November 18th, and yep, that will be the, I think it's the U.S. Bank, right?
U.S. Bank site, Central Peak.
Continuation. Yep.
I think Jared has already done attendance, and I think we have,
I think everyone. Okay. Yeah, I think everyone will be there.
There was also another thing that was set for November 12th. That he mentioned.
There is a the training,
yeah,
set for November 12th. So I think that starts at 5:30 for dinner, and then, right, 6 o'clock will be the actual training.
Gotcha.
Yep. That's it for me.
Everything?
Yep. Thank you.
All right, Carlos. Am I good to make a motion to adjourn?
You need to ask someone to make a motion.
I'll make a motion. Who are you, Jim?
Second the motion.
Right. Thank you, everyone. We're done for this evening.